I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Well, it's good to be back here with you again.
The other day, you mentioned you had recently come across a different type of investor for smaller commercial properties. Would you like to expand on that a little?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Ken, that as you're aware, my business started out acting for senior executives, some of which may have sold their businesses or sold out of the partnership with a legal or accounting firm and have considerable equity that they can invest, or they are still senior executives. They may not have huge amounts of equity, but they have a family home against which they can raise a line of credit, and they certainly have sizable incomes to service their debt. So both of those markets can step into the commercial property market and buy significant properties. And then there is the group from sort of 30 to 40 or maybe 45. Husband and wife are both working. They may own their own business. They're both generating significant income. They don't have huge equity, but again, they're able to service debt and are looking for some expenses to create a negative gearing situation so that they can, in addition to their super, build up an equity using the income from either their employment or out of their business to do so. And what I've now seen is a younger group in the sort of 25 to 30 year olds who have been renting for most of their life after leaving school and are looking now to purchase commercial property as opposed to residential property. And I find that interesting.
So why would these young couples prefer, say, a small office suite over simply purchasing their own home?
Well, it's really quite interesting. They're having trouble raising a deposit, and you know, they have been doing some saving. But what they're finding is that they're being priced out of the present market. As we know, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne, the property market is pretty hot. Clearance rates up around 75-80%, and you know, anything over 60% as a clearance rate is putting pressure, upwards pressure on prices, and they're just getting outbid, and they're finding it frustrating. You know, it's something that they, you know, they're trying to buy a home, and it's just beyond their limits, the prices that they have to pay. And so they're looking now and saying, well, look, the alternative is to buy an apartment. And they're thinking, well, we can rent that. We don't want to buy that and then have to move home again. So what they're looking at is what they could afford as an apartment. They could actually buy a small office suite, and that's probably a better alternative. They may even be still living at home. They put together some funds. Maybe their parents are happy to help them out on a business decision, which is the purchase of a commercial property. And so they see that as an affordable alternative, which is probably, you know, more attractive.
Therefore, you're saying that they are effectively using this as a stepping stone to home ownership?
Yeah, well, they don't want to make two moves as far as a home's concerned, but they see that they have some equity and they want to get into the property market, and they want to build up that equity so that when they are ready to purchase their family home, they can. Now, I mean, if they're not going to buy the family home now, right now, because they can't afford it, they've really only got two choices. The first one is to put more money into super, and alternatively, to buy a commercial property for the same price that they could buy an apartment. Now, the problem you've got with people in that age group, the younger group, is if they put it into super, that's very much delayed gratification because they're not going to see the real benefit from that, and they can't get their hands on the real benefit from that until they reach age 65, and that may actually increase depending on what the government does. However, they see commercial property as a way of getting into the market, letting their equity grow, and then when they're ready to form a family, they can then sell that and move out of the where they're living at home still, or in a group house and sharing the rent. And at that point, they can release the equity and go purchase a home that they can now readily afford.
But why choose commercial property over residential property?
Well, the answer's quite simple, really, because if they bought an apartment, they might get a 5% gross return based on what they paid. But by the time they pay for the rates and the insurance and the management and all that sort of stuff, they're getting a net return of somewhere between 2.5%, maybe 3% if they're lucky. Now, for the same priced property, and we're talking a property in sort of, you know, $400,000 to $700,000, let's say, which is what you could buy an apartment for, but you can certainly buy a small office suite for that. The return is going to be somewhere between 6.5% to 7%, and that's a net return because the tenant will be paying the outgoings, the rates, the insurance, the owner's corporation costs, all those sort of expenses, so that you actually have a net return which you can bank of, as I said, 6.5% to 7%. Now, that starts to make a lot of sense because they are able to service debt a lot better. And that's what I said before about the parents seeing it as a business decision, because they can see that if they do loan them some money to help with the initial deposit, that they are more than likely to get it back and get it back with a profit, because they may in fact say, well, look, okay, you know, we'll put in half the deposit, but we want to get half the benefit or some other ratio out of it as well. So it becomes a business transaction rather than just an emotional one of buying a home. And if you're getting those sort of net return, it starts to make the whole thing add up. And so it then becomes a forced saving and it's worthwhile. Now, they may, depending how they've structured it, provide some negative gearing benefits, but the important thing is that they can get their equity working for them and get a good return because, you know, interest rates are still relatively low. And if you're getting a 6.5% net return, you're still more than covering your interest rate. So it becomes an attractive proposition. And this is what I'm seeing this younger group starting to realize, that commercial at this point in their life is more profitable than residential.
Any other reasons?
Well, there are probably a couple of other reasons. With residential property, as you'd be aware, normally it's a 6 or a 12-month lease, but in average it's at about 9 months overall. Now, the thing is that if you're entering into a 3 or 4 year loan commitment, you want to have surety of income. And so if you've got a tenant changing over every so often, like every 6 to 9 months, well, you're going to have a gap. Sure, you might release it in 3 or 4 weeks, but invariably the bond that the tenant pays quite often doesn't really cover the wear and tear that's taken place. Sure, you can probably cover the cleaning, but you know there might be some stains on the carpet or things like that. And so having a commercial tenant, they're generally minimum of 3 years, probably 4 or 5 as a lease. And so you have a predictable, certain income where you can budget and know that your interest payments will be covered. Now, the other thing is that if you're getting a small office suite, the depreciation benefits, the tax benefits from depreciation with an office suite, are probably 2 to 3 times the deductions you'll get for a residential apartment. And so not only is there a better return, 6.5% to 7%, so there's better interest coverage, but even if the property happens to be positively geared, the depreciation benefits for tax purposes could make it negatively geared. So you end up in your own hands getting a tax benefit without having to outlay that as an expense. So overall, it starts to make a lot of sense that A, your initial return is net return is greater, and B, the tenants stay longer, so therefore there's less turnover. And also the other thing is that even if you have a longer lease with an apartment, if one tenant leaves and the other finds a replacement tenant, as soon as that happens, the new tenant is the one that's liable and the only one that's liable within a residential lease. With a commercial lease, if the tenant wants to assign the lease partway through a 3 or 4 year tenancy, both tenants are on the hook, the old one and the new one, until that initial lease expires. So if the substitute or replacement tenant isn't up to scratch and you can't get the rent from that tenant, you still have recourse to the original tenant that was in there on that original 3 year lease. So you've got additional safeguards, the leases are longer, the return is greater, and the depreciation benefits are considerably better for commercial property than they are for residential. So these younger, savvy, if you like, investors are starting to realise that, okay, I can't yet afford the family home because that's, you know, pushing up 800, 900, probably just over a million in some cases for the sort of home that they would ideally like. And so they're cutting their cloth to meet their needs, buying something a little smaller than that, but rather than the first choice, logical choice being an apartment, they're looking or thinking laterally and saying, well, here's an office suite. Everything is better as far as return and benefits, and let's get the equity working for us. And then when we're ready in 3, 4, 5 years' time to start a family, then we can sell it and we can take that money and put it as a good sizable deposit on a property that really suits our needs and family needs at the time. And it starts to make things a whole lot more attractive. And it's interesting, as I said, to see this younger group emerging in the marketplace.
So it's basically a numbers exercise for these young couples.
Yes. You see, they're simply choosing to make the best use of their available cash and in the process build up their equity until they reach the stage of being ready to start a family. And then what they do is to swap across to purchasing a family home.
An interesting twist. And it's always good to be aware of these emerging trends. Thanks for filling us in.
Well, it was my pleasure, Ken.